cameras. You're not right. Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. We podcast tonight on the event of the Calgary Flames shellacking the Edmonton Oilers. Calgary had, I think, 14 grade A scoring chances. The Oilers had 7. So, not a very close game at all. And the Oilers were completely outclassed in the game, which they lost 5-2. Bruce, how are you doing?
Well, I made it back home. I'm a little bit hoarse. I went to the game last minute, got invited to the game by a nice gentleman, Colin Ruddle. Enjoyed watching it with him, but the Calgary fans sitting all around us and all over the damn barn seemed to enjoy it a whole lot more.
Well, they have defensemen who can actually pass the puck, Bruce, so that will often lead to some enjoyment for your team as opposed to the disappointment that we're going to experience on a regular basis until the Oilers rectify that. So, Bruce, this is the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. What is your good thing?
Well, I'm going to go with the two all-world saves by Mikko Koskinen. They were both at the far end from where I was sitting, unfortunately, but I still got a pretty good look at both of them. The behind-the-back glove grab off of Johnny Gaudreau, where Gaudreau very nearly squeezed the puck between Koskinen and the post, and it hit some part of his pad, and then it hit the post, and it looked like it was going to just dribble through, and he somehow swung his arms behind his back and snagged it off the goal line. That's a save of the year candidate for me. And then
Kelly Haruti on Hockey Night in Canada said it may be the greatest save he's ever seen.
Yeah, well, it was phenomenal. And then the other one when the Oilers
Draisaitl's
terrific power play coughed up a clear-cut breakaway for Derek Ryan there. And the former U of A Golden Bear went in, made a great deke. I thought he had Koskinen dead to rights, and somehow the Big Finn got some piece of his padding on. I think it was his leg right off the goal. And he had some other terrific saves. Geez, the first period, the shots were 14-6, and there was tremendous pressure at times. And he was kicking pads out and flashing the pads at pucks that you couldn't see him when the puck was let go. So you wonder how he saw the puck. And even then, he was beaten 5 times. I mean,
yeah, he was bound to break at some point, unless he's like going to have like Bernie Perrant or Grant Fear in his prime kind of night. The Flames are bound to score. They just kept getting grade A chance after grade A chance. So my good thing, Bruce, was suddenly about halfway through the game, seemingly out of nowhere, Jesse Puljujärvi looked like the fourth overall pick of the 2016 draft. He was fantastic. Making plays. And I don't know what happened, Bruce, but Hitchcock, he really did something. He broke an unwritten rule of the Edmonton Oilers, which is to play Jesse Puljujärvi on the left half wall on the power play, where he is actually incredibly suited for his skill set. But for some reason, the Oilers have never played him there. This is part of their plan, I guess, in building up Puljujärvi's confidence. Anyway, he first set up Nugent Hopkins, then he got a shot from that left half wall, which Lucic tipped in. He was flying all over the ice, skating really well, playing with confidence. He got an incredibly terrible penalty call against him where he was battling hard for the puck.
Oh, man.
Gaining body position, and it was just total BS, that call.
One of many.
Yeah, that was the worst, although it might not have been the worst. There was lots of bad ones, but that was certainly a bad one. Anyway, good for Puljujärvi. I really hope that the Oilers have patience with this player, Bruce. I think it would be a terrible shame to trade this player, give up on him. And I do think that Hitchcock is the right coach for him. He continues to say positive things about the player and work with them. And I think this is what the Oilers see from Puljujärvi in practice quite a bit, the player that we saw tonight in the game. Because we've heard a tell of him in practice, how spectacular he can be. But finally, he totally got it cranked up. I mean, that's the best he's looked as an NHLer. Finally looked like a top six winger in that last half of the game. So it's just a small sample size. Let's see if he can replicate that over. Yeah. Let's see if he can see more flashes of that, but good for him.
Yeah, well, 52 weeks ago tonight, the Oilers beat Vancouver coming out of their seven-day break after the McDavid birthday game in Las Vegas. And Puljujärvi, all of the teams scattered to the four wins, and Puljujärvi stuck around Edmonton, played on the outdoor ice with kids. Remember that? Street hockey and stuff?
Yeah.
And the first game back, he was great. He had 3 points. It was the best game of his career. And we were saying the exact same thing you just said a year ago. He's really looking like an NHLer. He's ready to make that next step. And a year later, we're at the same place. We do see hopeful signs. I mean, he was playing with real purpose and determination tonight. You know, he had 5 hits in this game, more than any other Oiler, which is
and he's got to do
usual
that.
Style, but he was playing, he was bringing it, and he was skating hard, and he was carrying the puck and trying to drive the play. And if he'd shoot the bloody thing once in a while, when he had it between the circles twice and both times passed it off from his forehand, right from perfect shooting position.
Yeah, that was he.
Something they still got to learn. But.
Yeah. So, Bruce, what was your bad thing?
Lots to choose from tonight.
Power play?
Crappy officiating being part of it. But I'm not blaming the officials for the loss. I just thought they stunk both ways.
Yeah.
Lots of invented penalties. Oilers power play versus Calgary, because there were so many power plays in the game, it became a huge factor. Both teams had over 10 minutes with the man advantage, almost the same amount of ice time with the man advantage. And in their 10 minutes, Calgary had 15 shots on net, and Edmonton had 5 shots on net. Calgary was bringing the puck and making plays and getting shots on net. So you could say both special teams kind of got owned in this game.
Calgary had 9 grade A scoring chances on the power play. The Oilers had 3. Yeah. Darnell Nurse, Bruce, it just looks so predictable and mechanical. He just threw a couple lazy shots at the net, like almost giving the puck away. Like, I don't know, maybe he saw something that he just seemed like he just lacks creativity. I know, like, who else are they going to put out there? Well, I don't know. I like Caleb Jones. I'd try him. He seems a bit more creative with the puck. They're not going to have anyone until Evan Bouchard develops, it looks like, into a power play specialist for the Oilers, and that might be a while. We'll see. If you listen to Craig Button, it's never. Well, that's unfair to Craig Button. He was pretty critical of Bouchard, but he is saying that he's still a good prospect. Anyway, just Nurse was like, just there's nothing there. There's no threat. There's no danger when he's got the puck, Bruce. And you just know he's going to put it over to Draisaitl, and they know that, so they can cover that offer. It's just, they need someone on the right. They need someone on the left half wall with the right shot who can fire the puck from there. I'm sorry. Like, I just, this full left-handed power play, it works some of the time, maybe because of the great talent of the players, but you're just killing yourself by not having that right shot shooter in your left face-off circle. You're just killing your power play, I think.
Well, they did get one power play goal tonight, but it was one of the rarest of the rare. It was like the 1936 Dot Penny. The second unit. Oilers' second unit scored a power play goal. Stop the presses.
Don't think it's happened this year.
Well, they had 2 prior goals by the second unit. I'm not making this up. One was scored by Evan Bouchard before he got sent back, and one was scored by Jason Garrison, I think, in October.
Oh, I remember both of them, yeah.
Point shots that got through, and those were the only 2 all year. So Lucic had 1 prior power play goal, but that was when he was on the first unit, and tonight he got credit, and it was credit to the second unit. Puljujärvi shot off the boards, and Lucic tipped it on the way into the net, and lo and behold, 48 games into the season, we now have 3 goals out of the second unit. So, but tonight, the second unit was way better than the first unit, and Hitchcock said so in the post game. First unit just didn't have no movement, he said, and he was right. Just passing the puck around to stationary players around the perimeter.
Yeah, this is the thing. They've got to be more creative. They've got to get on the move, and I don't see Darnell Nurse being able to do it. Like, honestly, he doesn't have the creativity. I would play Jones back there, and I know this, saying this, you know, when Jones had a pretty rough night on defense. My number, Bruce, and my bad thing are the same thing. It's from the same player. Adam Larson, Bruce, I just thought had a really, really bad night defensively. He made two major mistakes on grade A scoring chances at even strength, three major mistakes shorthanded on grade A scoring chances. But the two I'm going to focus on were Calgary's second and third goals. And the sequence of pain on Calgary's second goal starts with kind of a good rush up the ice, and Larson's got the puck behind the net. But he has to know in that situation, if he gives away the puck, it's going to be an odd man rush. Not only that, everyone's tired out who's out there on the ice. Him, I think Reeder, I think Kara was out there, if I'm not mistaken. They're all tired out, and he decides to make a pass into the slot that goes to Calgary, and they turn it up the ice. They charge down the ice, and they score a goal. And, that was the one I think that hit Koskinen. Kind of Monahan moves into the slot and gets a shot, and then there's battling for a rebound, and Koskinen can't get it. Larson can't get it. And Jones also can't get it in the
game. Jones can't lift the guy's stick in the slot.
Well, come on. Koskinen and Larson had ample opportunity to shut that down. And Jones is the last man on the job. And, yeah, he should have done it too. Then the next one is what happened on that one? This is it's an even strength. And, Larson chases his man way out. Both times he was too aggressive. He was too aggressive in the offensive zone rather than making the safe play in the offensive zone. Mm-hmm. He made the risky play. I mean, it was a 1-0 game at that point. I don't know what he's pressing for. He makes the risky play. And again, it's 2-0, and he's chasing a guy way out to the point. He abandons his position. Pucks gets passed down low, and it's a goal by Shillington, I believe. And Larson was way out of position because he got too aggressive in the D zone. And I know people are on Jones's case tonight because I've seen it on Twitter. But I mean, this is a rookie being asked to play top pairing.
No, of course.
And Larson is expected though to make better decisions, and that's why I'm on his case tonight in particular.
Fair enough.
I just thought he and Nurse, they're both playing over their heads. I mean, Larson's asked to be the number one D man on the team right now. He is not that. He and Nurse are kind of both being asked to fill that role. And Nurse is not that guy in the power play. And Nurse, his decision-making right now, it was just weak all game long. It was not a particularly good game from him either.
Well, Nurse played 29 minutes and 27 seconds tonight. And Larson played 17:15. So you tell me who's the number one.
Yeah, it was Nurse, I guess.
Nurse played 13 minutes on special teams, over 13 minutes on special teams. It was just such a constant parade to the penalty box.
Well, Nurse's power play time, of course, he was out there all the time on the power play. They did nothing.
Yep.
Frustrating game. I mean, not that frustrating. I mean, at least the Oilers made a bit of a game of it. It wasn't frustrating, Bruce, because it was clear Calgary was
the better team won.
They just outclassed them all game long, and then they outclassed them for a simple reason. Calgary has a bunch of smart, clever, puck-moving defensemen who can get that puck up, hit players on the tape, buy time with the puck in their own zone, whip it out, make passes, and the Oilers do not. I mean, Manning and Benning. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Manning and Benning, or just struggle to make plays.
I didn't see Manning good in this game.
Yeah, they just have to find some guys who can pass that puck. I mean, if you're going to have Larson, Nurse, and Russell on your team, you're already starting at a bit of a negative. The other three guys that you're pairing with those three better be darn good moving the puck, or you're in big trouble.
Yep.
Because those three guys are average and at best. And, they can have good games, but they're too mechanical. They lack creativity. They don't always make good decisions. So you have got to have three guys who can really move the puck. And right now there's Jones, but they're missing two others. I mean, Klefbom obviously, but they need one more to team on the third pairing, probably with Russell next year. And I don't know if that's going to be Bouchard, possibly. Yeah. Tough game. Depressing.
Yeah, well, there was, like I say, about probably several thousand red sweaters in there mixed with the orange, and they clashed about as bad as that sounds, and they clashed in more ways than one. I would have thought all those Calgary fans coming up, they could have at least had the courtesy to wear their white sweaters, and then it'd be easier to pick them out. But they were having a good time, I have to say, and there was a hell of a lot of them. Holy moly. Like, I was really, being there in the game, really surprised by the percentage of red shirts in the, stands tonight.
All right, let's leave it there.
To take. As a younger man, I wouldn't have been able to handle that. Now I can just sort of say, well, their team's having a good game and they're having their fun, and they were obnoxious, but only in a kind of a fun way. I've seen fans, Calgary fans, be obnoxious in a not fun way, but I didn't see any of that tonight. So give them credit. They got a good team. They got a deeper team. They got more value contracts. They got guys, they've made better trades. Like, you can trace a lot of this stuff back right to the management of the two teams, and Calgary's is way ahead of us right now.
Yep. And the day of reckoning will come. All right, let's leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, good luck in your Minor Hockey Week final tomorrow.
Yeah, we, my Bantam boys team, my son's team, that I'm coaching, we're in the final, and we're playing. I thought we were going to be playing St. Albert, but St. Albert lost to the North Sierra team, so that's going to be a big titanic struggle. See how it turns out. All right. Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.